Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name, once again, is Kerry Stevenson. And today I'm bringing you PNX Metals. ASX code, write it down, is PNX. Very, very easy, ladies and gentlemen. Joining me is James Fox. He's the Managing Director and CEO. He's been a very busy guy, but this is the first time he's been talking with us at Small Caps. James, great to see you down in Adelaide, where apparently it's raining cats and dogs, but you have some freedom.
We do. Thanks, Kerry, and good to see you again. As you pointed out, we do have some freedom down here, and I do feel for the guys and girls over in New South Wales at the moment.
Luckily, I'm up on the Gold Coast, so I'm okay. But yeah, poor old Sydney, that's where I used to live. But let's jump into PNX Metals. This is the first time you've been chatting to us. Let's start with a bit of an overview. Who's PNX Metals? What are you doing?
PNX. So look, we're an exploration development company, as you would expect, I guess. Our focus is our Northern Territory assets. We have all of our projects up in the Northern Territory in the Pine Creek region. So around about 170 kilometres from Darwin, if you know that area, straight down the Stuart Highway and then turn left at the Hayes Creek Roadhouse, and that's where we are. So we've been up in the Northern Territory on those projects since late 2014. So it's been a few years. And we just published a pre-feasibility study last week on those projects, where, you know, it's been the culmination of quite a lot of work, but really has allowed us to sort of pull everything together and I guess highlights where we see ourselves going in the short to medium term.
Well, that's a good overview. Let's talk about that. It's the Fountainhead Gold Project that the PFS was done on. Is that correct?
Yeah, look, that's correct. So front end with the gold, Fountainhead predominantly, and then back end with the polymetallic base metals at two deposits called Mount Bonnie and Iron Blow.
Okay, so let's start with Fountainhead, the PFS. What did that show you? You've been going at this since late 2014. We're now in 2021. You've done a lot of work on the project. What have you been doing? Because this is basically showcasing to investors. So what is it that investors should sit up and take notice of at the moment? A lot of de-risking going on.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, one of the key points to get across is, yes, absolutely, we've been going at this for a long time. We started off with base metals at Hayes Creek, Mount Bonnie and Iron Blow. Lots of gold, silver and zinc there. There's about 250,000 ounces of gold, 16 million ounces of silver, and about 180,000 tonnes of zinc in resources at the Hayes Creek project. We then, as part of our project development process and part of the engagement with the Northern Territory EPA was to try and find a place for tailings. So we said, all right, well, we don't want to build an above ground tailings dam. Look, absolutely. So look, I think that above ground tailings dam in general in sort of tropical areas where you do get a lot of rainfall are not ideal. The amount of engineering that you have to do, the amount of additional water that you have to manage, and just the general insecurity that relates to tailings dams, leakage, dam wall failures, all of these things that are, you know, quite high risk if they're not done properly. And for us, I guess, we're sort of trying to go down the route of what is the line of least resistance regarding approvals and project development. And so one of the critical path items for us was to find a place for tailings. And in fact, this was in conjunction and sort of with the recommendation of the Northern Territory government was, well, why not look at in-pit tailings? You know, find some existing holes in the ground that have been previously mined and put your tailings in there. So we thought, well, you know, fantastic, why not? You know, it's a ready-made tailings dam. Essentially you take the material out and then you put it back in again. So Fountainhead was one of those areas that we had identified as being an ideal tailings location for the Hayes Creek polymetallic tailings. But of course, once we then finally managed to acquire the Fountainhead area and we undertook some drilling on that, we found out that in fact the previous operators hadn't mined out all the gold. And there's ultimately about 150,000 ounces plus sitting there in and around the existing open pit that is potentially economic. So long story short,
bugger. Now we're going to have to find another
one. Now what do we do? Exactly. So we then, so look, and it was twofold. I mean, I guess that there was there is a significant amount of gold there that we can potentially make money out of. And hence the reason why, obviously, we looked at that from a mining perspective. B, at the time, and this was a couple of years ago, the refining and treatment charges for zinc were very, very high. They were at, I think highest point ever, actually. And it meant that our Hayes Creek project with the zinc concentrates in that was, whilst it still made money on paper, it was going to be very difficult for us, I guess, to justify that development at low zinc prices, high treatment and refining charges. You know, there are quite a few companies on the ASX that were really struggling a few years ago.
Yeah.
With regards to zinc concentrates. And of course, the gold price was very high. So we said, well, why not front end the project with the gold and then give ourselves a bit of flexibility with the base metals towards the back end. And so that really became the strategy was to, well, let's look at the Fountainhead project. Let's look at what other gold resources we can incorporate in the overall project on the lope. And how do we get all of these areas to fit together to provide a return for our investors?
And how are you going to do that? Yeah, because I'm listening to this and what's going through my head is you've got the base metals over here. You've found, the Fountainhead project. It's not massive. Is it economic? What are the grades? Where are you at with that?
So, I guess this is really what we've been working hard on over the last couple of years is grades are modest. Between 1 and 2 gram per ton gold. It's not unusual for the Pine Creek region to run with sort of modest gold grades. Scale absolutely is modest as well. Fountainhead on a standalone basis is about 156,000 ounces.
Yeah.
I guess what we've done to sort of combat the scale component is we're finalising the acquisition of another deposit up there called Glencoe. And Glencoe is 70 to 80,000 ounces currently. We published a JORC compliant mineral resource on that a month or so ago. And again, is part of our exploration program this year. We've also got numerous other near surface non-JORC compliant at the moment, so I can't say too much about them, but deposits, shall we call them, that require additional work to be done on them in and around that same area.
Okay.
As in within 20-25 kilometer radius.
Is that where you're spending the money right now? Have you put, I guess the question is, with the base metals project, is that sort of sitting off to the side because of the costings and really you're focused on Fountainhead, or are you still doing some work on those other projects?
Yeah, look, the base metals, I guess, are at a point now where we have a very high degree of confidence. The majority of those resources sit in the indicated category. Yeah. We have... we've done a lot of work. We published a pre-feas on the base metals back in 2017. So there's a high degree of confidence with regards to the base metals. But the key thing for us is about sequencing the mineralization and sequencing the resources in the best way for us to manage the capital for the upfront plant, manage the holes in the ground for the tailings, manage the water up there, because clearly it's an environment that gets a lot of water over a very short period of time.
But sorry to interrupt you, James. You said Fountainhead was going to be the tailings dam, so to speak.
Yep.
So have you found another spot that doesn't have gold?
We have.
Okay.
And look, and I mean, something, I'll just grab this to show you because I think this is, so this here is our Fountainhead Gold Project environmental impact statement, or at least one volume of it. So this is, we've got 4 volumes of this that we had to submit earlier this month to the Northern Territory EPA, and this is our environmental impact statement for the Fountainhead project. What we have proposed initially to manage the tailings is to filter the tailings and to store and to essentially dry stack them on site before, once we then mined out the Fountainhead pit, and that Fountainhead pit is then available for in-pit tailings, we can then put the massive sulfide tailings from Hayes Creek back into that. But initially, it's about dry filtering the tailings and storing them on surface from the gold projects, because the tailings are relatively benign. They don't contain deleterious elements or nasty chemicals, really. The majority of that gets washed out of your tailings. So we're able to store them on surface, and then we're able to create that large void in the ground for then all of the rest of the tailings. And I guess it's if it sounds complicated,
it does sound a bit.
Is because it is pretty complicated, but at least at a high level, the way that we are going to manage this is we mine the near surface gold to start with,
okay,
through a custom built processing plant, which we got Como engineers to give us, and they're still working with us. We got some strong guidance from those guys.
How are you going to fund that, James?
Great point. Funding of the gold project, which we're looking at the moment, as you would expect, having obviously just released the study, we're very fortunate to have long-term, extremely supportive, substantial shareholders, which you would expect would be aligned with our development strategy, and obviously across the total capital spend that we're proposing. So no doubt that they will be a part of the overall funding strategy. But we're also in discussions with various marketing and offtake groups for the back end base metals. And I guess part of that discussion is, well, look, if you guys want to get access to the base metal sulfides, we need to get the gold out of the way first.
Got it. Okay.
So there is a justification, I guess, for you guys being involved early and assisting us with this development to get to where you guys are interested, which is both the base metals and the precious metal sulfides coming in towards the second half of the mining schedule.
And when you say the second half of the mining schedule, let's just talk about some timings with this as sure. Well. Are you in discussions already with some of these people that might, the offtake agreements, et cetera?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, so what's your timing like on this? Where are you at? What's the news flow? Investors would like to hear, I'm sure, because I'm also an investor. Where's the value? Why should...
Absolutely. And look, this is... It's a valid point, and it's one that I wouldn't say we struggle with, but you know, our focus is on getting this thing up and running, making money for the business, making money for the shareholders through the development of the gold and the base metals assets. But you know, I get it. You know, in general, there's a lot of technical information, there's a lot of documentation, there's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of government and environmental hoops that we have to jump through, and large capital spends modest capital spends for a company of our size. We're talking, you know, $40 odd million, but that's still a large amount of money.
Yeah.
And you know, how do we, I guess, engage with investors and create value in that? You know, I'm sure you've all seen the graphs where you have sort of call it the valley of death almost, don't you? There's a bit of a trough in the middle where you have your discovery and then you have your development trough, and then the value picks up again. And I guess, you know, our intent, our goal, what we're doing at the moment is we're out there, we've got the drill bit turning. So we're doing about, we're doing about 4,000 meters of RC drilling currently in and around the Fountainhead area, because there are numerous opportunities for us to add to the resources or add to the resource base.
Yep.
You know, ultimately there's a 5 kilometer trend there of gold mineralization, of which the mineral resources are hosted in about the center 800 meters. And there's defined mineralization all the way along this trend. Obviously, doesn't have the degree of confidence to support mineral resources yet, but there is evidence of, you know, lots of gold, shall we say. And so part of our intent over the next few months is to continue drilling this anticline, drilling this extension.
And you've got enough in the bank to do that drilling campaign?
Yep. So again, I don't think there's any secrets there. We've got about $4 million in the bank at the moment. You know, the drilling campaign in the short term that we've earmarked to do the RC drilling at Fountainhead and at our newly acquired Glencoe project is about 4,000 metres. So that's about $500,000 worth of drilling there on current numbers. Obviously, we're fortunate enough to be able to get a drill rig and to get that working. I think there's a bit of push and shove when it comes to drill rigs these days.
There is, very much so. But you know, I have to bring this up as well. I mean, you mentioned shareholders before. You've got one very large shareholder, but you've got a lot of shares on issue. And do you think that that's a bit of a challenge? Are you going to do some sort of a consolidation with the share register at some point in the future?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think it's highlighted, it's flagged. You know, when you've got, like we do, 3.5 billion shares on issue, you know, when you move from 0.8 to 0.9 cents, or you move from 0.9 to 0.1 cent, you know, you're talking 14-16% increase or decrease every time you trade 0.1 of a cent. And I, you know, I get that's, you know, that's difficult for investors to buy into that when sometimes you see such broad or large changes in the share price. I think certainly consolidation is on the table at the appropriate time. I'll add to that. You know, we don't want to consolidate just for the sake of consolidating, because, you know, more often than not, you know, the share price does, or the value often drops off. Share price increases, value decreases when you consolidate. But, yeah. You know, we would propose to do this on the back of a milestone or milestone events. And for us, that would be capital funding for the entire project, development milestones that relate to the project. I think that, you know, that's our step change as a business.
Or a massive discovery of gold along that trend of 5Ks that you talked about.
And a massive discovery of gold rather than ore, yeah.
And a massive discovery, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But I think that's the, you know, it's out there, and we're obviously looking at it, and we're in discussions with our shareholder base and our stakeholders, as you would expect. And yes, it'll happen some point in time, but I can't guarantee when.
James, we're talking to an investor audience right now. Why do you think that there's value for people to be looking at PNX and putting their hard-earned cash into ASX code PNX?
Again, great question, and clearly the one that investors really want. I can't give away too many sort of the juicy details that sit underneath all this. But look, ultimately, we are... You know, we're well advanced in terms of the project development. As I said, the environmental impact statement's been submitted. We're expecting to, it's open for public consultation at the moment, and we're expecting to see a response from that within the next 6 weeks or so. Aim is to have the EIS approved by the end of this calendar year.
Okay.
We're working with our engineers, COMO engineers, for the detailed engineering and design for the plant and infrastructure at the moment, with the aim of having a fixed price contract offer in place by probably third quarter this year.
Okay.
And the idea of fixed price EPC contract, as we call it, which is engineering, procurement and construction, is that it de-risks PNX. It means that we pay a lump sum, and all of the, that construction and risk is taken out of it. We just have to find the funding, obviously.
Yeah. Just a little detail, James, just a little detail.
A little detail, absolutely. So that's two critical components that we're advanced on. Funding discussions, obviously, well advanced as well. We've got money in the bank, which has allowed us to go out now and not only continue all of the project development work, but as we said, get the drill bit turning on predominantly these gold target areas, exploration target areas that are really near to our project. You know, they're all within a few hundred meters of our mining area, and all have the potential to host additional gold mineral resources, which is clearly our aim. And I guess the project itself, the pre-feeds that we put out last week, highlights the potential for in excess of 10-year mine life.
Okay.
We have 1,500 square kilometres of prime exploration tenure up there, 170 k's from Darwin. Infrastructure's fantastic. Roads, rail, gas pipeline, grid power, telecommunications, these are all things that are already in place that we don't need to spend money on.
I know there's a lot of water rainfall up there, but what about water supply? Is that an issue or not?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Water is a management issue for us, the same as tailings. And again, it's a critical part of our environmental impact statement and the management of that water and the management of that tailings. And look, absolutely. You know, although that part of the Northern Territory is in a net negative water balance, you get a metre of water in about 3 or 4 months that you have to deal with, capture that water, and then you have to use the rest of the year treating it, processing it through the plant and allowing it to evaporate. So, yes, there's a lot of nice rock pools around the place. There's a few crocodiles.
I hadn't even thought about that. Oh, my goodness, Northern Territory. Yeah, we think COVID's bad. I think crocodiles, yes, forgot about them.
And what happens, of course, is when it rains a lot, as it has done this year, these crocodiles migrate, and then they get stuck.
Oh.
Because, of course, as the water levels drop, they get stuck in these ponds and these pools around the place and the billabongs and so on. And so they get stuck there till the next wet season when it then rains and all the rivers rise. So you've got to be careful, yeah.
hadn't actually thought about that. All right, James, we're going to wrap it up. Tell me in a nice, succinct way, why should investors get excited? Give me three reasons why investors need to get excited about PNX right now. The pre-fees came out. We know about that. You've given us a big overview. But why do you think you're talking to small caps right now? Why now? Why should they give you their money?
Currently drilling. Potential for high-grade gold mineralization near to existing deposits. We have a potentially economic project which we are currently in the process of advancing rapidly. Potential for us to be breaking ground middle of next year, producing gold towards the end of next year. That's our goal.
It was four, I'll give you four, producing gold towards the end of next year. Everybody knows I'm a gold nerd, ladies and gentlemen, so I love these stories. Producing gold towards the end of next year. And I keep saying this, even though the gold price has come off a little bit, I think we're in for a very good time in the gold equities market. So James Fox from PNX Metals, thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Gary, thanks for your time. Thank you, everyone.